Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A historic moment in America because now Judge Kavanaugh has been nominated for the vacant seat of Justice Anthony Kennedy. He has been a swing vote on so many critical issues. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, Judge Brett Kavanaugh is the nominee, 53-year-old. He is someone who has a lot of legal experience, both in government with the Bush administration and also in the office of Kenneth Starr during the Clinton investigation. Before that, he recommended various reasons for the impeachment of Bill Clinton. And he also has served as a judge on the D.C. Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. for a number of years since 2006. Clearly qualified, Matt, to serve as the next Supreme Court justice. But the question is, what is his judicial philosophy? That is going to be the question throughout this nomination process. I know people are going to be digging into his 300 and some opinions that he's written, which is a lot. But he also has given speeches. He's written law review articles. Lots of information has been published about what he has said, what he thinks on a wide variety of issues.
Yeah, and it's encouraging. He said at the nomination press conference when President Trump announced, he basically is one who will interpret the Constitution as intended. That I wade through, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pages of his writings, his speeches in particular. I'm finding a man who looks like a rock-solid textualist, an originalist, which is exactly the kind of person we want on the bench.
This is what he said, Holly, when he was nominated during the press conference. He said that his judicial philosophy has, quote, been straightforward. Mm-hmm. A judge must be independent and must interpret the law, not make it. Very powerful words. He also goes on to stress that he believes in interpreting the statutes and the Constitution as they are written, informed by history and tradition and precedent. Now, in a speech that he gave in 2017, he said some good things about former Chief Justice William Rehnquist on the Supreme Court, saying that he ultimately tried to rein the court in so that it's not a social policy machine, and that rights that are not deeply rooted in our history and tradition should not be recognized as rights. If they're not enumerated as a specific right, like the free speech clause, then if they're not deeply rooted in our history and tradition, the court cannot become a freewheeling machine to create social policy. And two of those areas in which he pointed to is, one, the abortion decisions. Those were wrong because the court granted those newfound opinions saying that there's a so-called right when they're not deeply rooted. It's not deeply rooted in our history to kill your child.
Right.
He also said that the decision from the Supreme Court on the right to die was correct. Why? Because the right to die is, number one, not enumerated, but it's also not deeply rooted in our history and tradition. And the Supreme Court rejected a so-called constitutional right to die. So those are actually very encouraging statements.
You know, that is. And just, I mean, we are continuing to pray to overturn Roe versus Wade. And this is a great hope that he will actually apply the Constitution, not his opinion, but to see where he's come from, that, Lord willing, we can overturn this. Now, how long will this nomination process take for him?
It's going to happen by the end of September. The confirmation vote will probably be in September. I doubt if it's going to be in August. Some original thought was maybe August, but I think now September. It'll happen before the end of September, thus allowing him to sit on the bench the first Monday in October so that there's absolutely no vacancy on the U.S. Supreme Court. So what's happening now, Matt, he's visiting with senators. He's completing the form that any nominee has to complete. It talks about lots of different questions, and you have to complete that. And so he's going through to work on completing that. Then there's going to be hearings. Those hearings have not been set yet, but the Senate already did away with its August recess, and this was before the confirmation process even began. before we even knew that Kennedy was stepping down. Mitch McConnell said that the Senate will not this year take its usual August recess. So they'll work right through the summer. And that means that there'll be hearings before the Judiciary Committee, and we're going to see those televised. And then there's ultimately going to be a full vote by the U.S. Senate. And from there, that's when he goes to the bench. So I think that whole process will take between now and sometime in September.
You know, it's what a reminder to pray for him, because it just sounds like a grueling process.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right. Mitch McConnell will call this vote to the floor before the fall session for the Supreme Court. Some of our friends are a little wary of where Judge Kavanaugh stands on the issue of abortion. They particularly cite the Garza case, and these words, when he says, "In sum, under the government's arguments in this case and the Supreme Court's precedents, the unlawful immigrant minor is assumed to have a right under precedent to an abortion." I don't see that as an endorsement of Roe v. Wade. I see that as him saying as exactly what he said, under the government's arguments, he says. In the case of the Supreme Court precedents, he says, and they assume a right under precedent to an abortion. I don't hear him saying he agrees with that.
I think here's that is one of the issues about what's raised some people's questions, because you and I, when we would be presented with something like that, would likely have criticized Roe versus Wade, even though it's precedent on the Supreme Court. The lower courts are required to follow the precedent of the U.S. Supreme Court. And as a lower court judge, he was required to follow the U.S. Supreme Court precedent. But the government also, in that case, didn't make the arguments that it should have. Number one, it assumed that she had a so-called right to an abortion. It didn't really contest that, and it didn't ask for a guardian to be appointed. And so he's left with what he has as the record, that they had assumed it, and that's what the court's precedent. Now, when you're a Supreme Court justice, now you have the ability to change precedent. Mm-hmm. And that just happened. For example, a 40-year precedent was overruled, rightly so, in the free speech issue for government employees and unions. Back in the 70s, when the Supreme Court issued the Abood case, they compromised the First Amendment because they wanted the ultimate result to support unions. And therefore, they allowed unions, government unions, to force people to pay dues that would be used contrary to their speech, contrary to their views. That's a wrong decision back then. The government was wrong in 1972. In 2018, 40 some years later, they ultimately said that decision is not based in the Constitution and it's overruled. So therefore, the judges below have to follow the precedent. But if you're a Supreme Court justice, you have the ability to say that precedent was not rooted in the Constitution and we're not going to follow it anymore. So that may be what he's talking about. So being a Supreme Court justice is going to be a lot different than being a lower federal court judge, where you're bound by higher precedent. In this case, as a Supreme Court justice, you can ultimately do away with that previous precedent if it's not rooted in the Constitution.
And in the full context of other comments that he has made, for instance, in a speech he gave in last year in 2017, where he made it very clear that he agreed with Justice Rehnquist, who called the notion of, you know, unenumerated rights without public policy and tradition and history behind them as, quote, freewheeling. So I think that's a better insight into his position on Roe.
Yeah, I think so. And in fact, he's actually talking about Justice Rehnquist with regards to Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the two major abortion decisions. And he said that Justice Rehnquist was against those cases because abortion's not an enumerated right and it's not deeply rooted in our history. And he says eventually he was successful in curbing the limitation of the court in the Right to Die case. In that case, Rehnquist wrote the 5-4 opinion saying that the right to die is not enumerated and it's not deeply rooted in our history. Thus, he says, and he praises Rehnquist for limiting the freewheeling power of the Supreme Court to make it more a court of law and less an institution of social policy. Encouraging words. We're going to put all of this on our website. Go to lc.org. We're going to put the speech on the website. We want you to go to lc.org, sign up for our Liberty Alert to stay involved in this important process and our grassroots action. email right there so you can have your voice known to your senators during this historic moment. We also want you to engage with us in prayer, and we'll say more about that on our website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. lc.org.